Welcome back to the Guardian with Joy and Holly Radio Show. Thank you for being with us. Do you have carpenter bees? We've asked you this question a couple of times in the last month, but we're trying to prevent the problem on your property before the carpenter bees do the damage, and then you've got an expense, and especially with lumber prices now, you don't want to have any expenses when it comes to damage to lumber.
Correct. So carpenter bees, there's a carpenter bee trap stick from Rescue. It also works on wasps, mud daubers. And what they do is they bore holes and tunnels into wood to lay eggs and care for their larvae. So these holes and tunnels are in the wood. They invite mold and rot into homes, decks, fences, and other wood structures. Spring is the best time to catch carpenter bees before they mate, but trap stick can be used throughout the summer and early fall to control the carpenter bees. Rescue makes the carpenter bee trap stick. It's simple to use and pesticides free. You hang the trap stick from the wood structures that you want to protect. You go to carpenterbeecontrol.com. You watch a video about carpenter bees and learn how to prevent them with the trap stick from Rescue. That's rescue.com or carpenterbeecontrol.com. And they're made in the USA.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Susan Mulvihill is a columnist, passionate gardener, author, and has a new book out called The Vegetable Gardener, Vegetable Garden Pest Book. Welcome to the program, Susan.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's just get into it. We often get a lot of questions, and you may as well also. What is this insect on X plant? What are some great ways for people to identify a pest that's in their garden the most effective way?
Well, we all carry our phones with us at all times, right?
Right.
So take a photo of the bug so you can zoom in on it to see what it actually looks like. Then do a web search using a description of the bug's appearance. So let's say yellow and black striped beetle. And look at the images in the results until you find something that looks about right. You'd be amazed at how well this works. But another thing I wanted to suggest is to join an insect ID group on Facebook or other social media and post a photo of the bug, because they are great at identifying insects for you. There's also a great bug identification website called bugguide.net, and there are other ones as well, but I use that one. It's amazing. And then be sure to ask your local Master Gardener program to help you identify the bug, because they are a great resource and their service is free.
That's definitely very helpful. So what are some tips to determine if damage to a plant is from a pest versus something else?
It can be challenging at times, that's for sure. So damage from animals is usually pretty startling because they tend to take big bites. And sometimes they even pull up the whole plant, which is really annoying. If the top of the plant is missing, I would look for things like deer, rabbits, or woodchucks. And look for their droppings, because that can help with identification. Birds peck at the leaves, so there can be a lot of damage, but it's usually in the form of small bites or missing foliage. If you go out to your garden and a covey of quail flies out of there, or you spot some turkeys, I certainly would suspect them first. But most insects cause holes or maybe small half-moon circles on the leaves, or they chew plant stems. More often than not, what you're going to need to do is some sleuthing on or around the plants to see if you can find some bugs. If you don't have any luck, go out into your garden at night with a flashlight to see if you spot some, because there are many bugs that are nocturnal, meaning they're only active at night.
Now, with your experience, you've been a gardener for a very long time. What has been a bug or bugs that you have been challenged with?
Oh, boy. Pill bugs. Those are considered a benign pest, or a benign insect, I should say, because they help with the decomposition of organic matter. But they also have a dark side. They love to chew on the stems of young cucurbits like melons, cucumbers, squash, pumpkins. And that's because the stems are so succulent. So I did have a problem with some pill bugs, I didn't know at the time, chewing on some young seedlings that I had just planted. And I came out the next day, and here's one laying on its side, and here's another one with some damage and wilting leaves. And I thought, oh, those darn slugs. It's got to be the slugs. And I put out some slug bait. I tried different things. Nothing was solving the problem. So I went out at night with a flashlight. And here's some pill bugs chowing down on the lead or the stems of the seedlings. And so I thought, ha-ha, I know what that is.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because there was a debate on one of the gardening Facebook pages that I was following, and they were saying exactly the same thing. Oh, pill bugs or roly-polies, they don't chew anything. And the person who was pleading the case was, well, yes, they do, because it did all this damage. So I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yes, and I think I saw the same post, because I weighed in on that one just because of my past experience.
Right.
So your book is the Vegetable Garden Pest Book. What is something unique or noteworthy in your book that would encourage our listeners to check it out?
In addition to providing over 200 photos showing bugs and the damage they cause, I created a massive diagnostic chart to help gardeners determine which pests are damaging their plants. So here's how it works. You start by going to the name of the vegetable crop you're growing. So let's say it's broccoli. Then you read through descriptions of the types of damage that bugs might cause on broccoli plants. When you find something that matches the damage you're seeing, you'll notice the name of a pest or pests that cause that type of damage. And that will point you to the detailed profiles of those pests, which also contain lists of organic methods for controlling them. This is such a great tool for gardeners.
Now, you clearly, with the book, there has been a massive amount of time that's been invested in order to make all these possible. How long and how much time did you put into creating a book this detailed to help gardeners, beginner or advanced, across the country?
Well, and thanks for pointing that out, because it's not for just one region. It's for all over the place. And I started writing the book last February of 2020, and I submitted the manuscript in the middle of September last year. So several months. But I had been thinking about doing a book like this for quite a while. And so I already, you know, I had some material, but yes, I did a ton of research, because I think it's so important to be very accurate and
right.
Information that they can rely on.
Right. And if I've got a problem with cabbage, I can go to that portion of the book and start basically doing a search. Here's what the problems is. And you've narrowed it down for me. Your work has made my job much easier identifying the problem in my garden so I can be successful.
That's awesome.
Well, that's great. So we're talking with Susan Mulvihill. She's an author, columnist, passionate gardener, and she's a new book out called The Vegetable Garden Pest Book. So why is organic pest control important?
Even though chemical pesticides are easy to come by, they are non-selective. That means that in addition to killing the type of insect that's causing a problem in your garden, they will also kill beneficial insects that prey on that pest. In addition, the residue from those chemicals remains on the produce we're growing and can also persist in the soil. Now, I personally grow my own food because I want to know it's safe. I want to know it was handled carefully, and I don't want chemicals to play a role in their growth. So by taking an organic approach, all of us can embrace the environment that exists in our gardens.
That's definitely very helpful. And what is integrated pest control management, and how does it work?
Well, even though it has a long name, it's a systematic approach to pest problems that we should all be using on a regular basis, because it makes a lot of sense. The goal is to use solutions or control methods that have the least impact on the environment. The first step, which we all need to do, and it's so simple, is to monitor our gardens on a regular basis. That way, we'll spot potential problems right away. if you see bugs on your plants, identify what they are, because they might be beneficial insects, so you certainly wouldn't want to kill them. If they turn out to be pests that are damaging your vegetables, select a method for controlling them, and you'll find all sorts of methods in my book, and then implement it. At that point, document the steps you took and what your solution was so that you'll remember what worked or what you should do differently if you have problems with that same pest again. With traditional integrated pest management, the final step, if nothing else has worked, is to use a chemical control. But I just can't bring myself to do that. So I don't even consider that an option. I go organic the whole way.
Well, now, Susan, correct me if I'm wrong. In a garden, you're going to have good bugs and bad bugs. And it's okay to have bad bugs because the good bugs, if a balance is, you have a balanced ecosystem, the good will control the bad.
Yes, exactly. Oh. And that's the thing. You know, we humans tend to react to all kinds of bugs and not realize that something might be beneficial, or we don't realize that the beneficial insects need to have some of the bad guys to eat, otherwise they won't survive. So it is quite a balance. And the goal in my book was to make it easy to identify both the good bugs and the bad bugs that you might see in your garden.
Very good information. How can people find your book? And by the way, how can people follow you on your YouTube channel and watch your journey in your garden through this growing season?
Well, first of all, my book is pretty much available everywhere. You can get it on Amazon or other online sources. You can buy it or have your local independent bookstore order it for you. And my website and blog are on susansinthegarden.com. I have all sorts of great resources for gardeners there. I post daily on Facebook and Instagram. Just look for @SusansInTheGarden. And like you mentioned, I have over 300 how-to garden videos on my YouTube channel. And once again, that is Susan's in the Garden.
Well, Susan, we greatly appreciate the time and the knowledge you've not only shared with Holly and myself, but all of our listeners.
Well, thanks so much for having me as a guest.
Well, thank you very much.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.